Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. Today, it's Crossing Streams, where we touch base quickly on some other things we might have been watching, perusing along the streaming interwebs that you might want to check out. You might not. I don't know you.
Yeah, you ever been looking at Netflix and you're like, what should I watch this evening?
Or well, Hulu, or Disney or Hulu Plus, or Disney, Paramount Plus?
Disney Plus.
It's Disney Plus. It's Paramount Plus. Apple TV Plus.
Plus.
What else we got? Shudder. Mubi,
Shudder,
Tubi,
Tubi,
Funimation,
Fresh and Fruity,
yeah, MGM Plus. That's a thing.
Is it?
Yeah, I think.
Okay.
Excuse me, I choked on MGM Plus.
As you should.
Stop it. AMC Plus, Blues. Sorry. There's other ones, unfortunately.
Are we having a meltdown?
Yes.
I feel like we're having a meltdown.
So you're hearing this on Tuesday, but this is our fourth podcast of the day, and it's Father's Day. I've got to go see my wife's father. She's texting me. Are you still recording? Jesus Christ. And I'm like, yes. But we're so grateful that we get to do this for you. We appreciate all of your support. And we missed Crossing Streams because I watch so many things and I don't ever get to talk about some of them. Later this month, for instance, like The Witcher Season 3, Volume 1 is coming out. I want to talk about that. That'll probably be a Crossing Streams thing, you know? So there's some other big things. A ton of good movies coming out soon. Asteroid City. Jennifer Lawrence's No Hard Feelings. I'm really excited for her raunchy comedy. I'm psyched for that. That's coming out soon. But that's not what we've watched this time. Steve, what's one thing you've been watching you want to run by?
So I have two entries this week. Both are a little late to the game, but I think they're worth talking about.
I'll be the judge of that.
So the first thing I know is something that both you and I watch recently, and it's a major show you can watch on Apple TV Plus, and that was the season three finale of Ted Lasso.
Oh, yeah, we didn't touch base about the Lassos.
Yeah, we haven't talked at all about Ted Lasso on the show recently. We've talked about season one and two in the past on previous Crossing Streams. So it's fitting that we talk about season three, the final season of Ted Lasso, created by Brenda Hunt, Joey Kelly, Bill Lawrence,
Brett Goldstein,
Jason Sudeikis.
Fucking hell. Fuck. I'm Roy Kent. He's there. He's there. He's every fucking where. Keely fucking Jones.
I feel
it's
like
just poopy.
Oh my God. That's one of my favorite lines. Coach, it's just poopy. So I feel like just based off, so you're much more glued into the online averse of how people are taking
reacting
TV
to
shows.
Yeah, the discourse.
But I feel like I've been getting this hint that a lot of people like weren't a big fan of season three of Ted Lasso. definitely right. like the most controversial, I'd say.
Yes.
So I don't know how hot of a take this is, but I fucking love season 3 of Ted Lasso. It's not a perfect season. There are definitely some things that I'm kind of like, oh, that could have been better. I wish they would have done this instead of that. Specifically, I don't think they wrapped up the Nathan Shelley storyline as well as it could have been. But for the most part, I was watching season 3 of Ted Lasso when we were going to L.A., so I had I had my iPad loaded up with the episodes. So when we're on the plane, I'm watching Ted Lasso and I'm trying my hardest almost episode by episode to not cry surrounded by strangers on a plane. Cause literally almost every episode has a moment where I'm crying tears of joy. I'm crying tears of sadness.
Mm-hmm. There's actually a point where Steve got stuck crying to Ted Lasso. And so everyone was disembarking, walking past him, and like 38 people would stop and go, "Pussy, pussy." And I was just like, "Leave him alone.
I'm sorry." the teammates love each other.
We were both on. It was actually one leg of the journey where there was a woman we didn't know between us.
Yeah.
And we were both on opposite ends of her crying, watching Ted Lasso.
Yeah. So you're two episodes ahead of me the whole time. And so this woman like would look left, see what you're watching. She could look right and see what I'm watching. And maybe she's like, "Oh, this poor bastard doesn't know what he's in for."
She's the head of the game. Cause she's been peeking at my screen.
Yeah. People must, but she didn't know we were together. So she was like, "Man, God, what are the odds?"
Yeah. I think it is a hot take. But I agree. Like the finale itself was satisfying to me. All the characters ended up in a place that I believed and that I was happy with. But I do know in my heart that season 3 was the weakest of the 3 seasons, specifically the first half. I think they introduced a lot of plot threads that even they knew were trash because they summarily dropped them all. Mm-hmm. Like Keeley's, got some things going on in her love life that just kind of get dropped summarily in a weird way. And a lot of things like that I'm glad they got dropped because I was so disinterested in Ted Lasso in the first half of the season that I fell 6 or 7 weeks behind. And I only caught up in time to watch the finale because we flew to LA and I watched all 7 episodes on the flight. Mm-hmm. So I know that without like consciously thinking about it, I was disliking the season because I stopped watching it. Mm-hmm. However, I think the back half of the season is almost as strong as the other 2 seasons and it ends in a place that I'm satisfied with, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I really like some of the things that they did introduce, like, Colin's character. I really liked his journey throughout the season. Trent being he is a diamond dog in the show, basically. Like, I loved his inclusion into the team.
Yeah, because he got replaced at the Independent, but then they found a way to work him even more into the show, which is cool. I agree.
But my biggest thing, like, I agree with you, like, the stuff with Keeley was kind of a miss in the beginning half of the season. But I don't know. I kind of liked her journey for the most part. It didn't go anywhere, but they kind of introduced like, "Hey, what if scenario?" But like, obviously, it didn't pan out. I still think the biggest thing for me that I wasn't a huge fan of was that wrap up with Nathan Shelley, because like his turn in season 2 was such a big deal. It was a big moment. Like, Ted's going through this personal stuff. Nate doesn't know about it, so he thinks Ted's ignoring him, and he lashes out in a pretty awful way. And then the way that sort of resolved is kind of like, no big deal. Like, I don't want to spoil too much, but like there's this weird thing where like him and Ted don't really have a confrontation the whole series. And I was expecting that to be a big thing, but it really wasn't.
Yeah. Ted just understands. He's got his own thing going on with his son.
He gets it, man. I really appreciated what they did with the players. And who would have known, like, when you watch that first season, just how attached you would become to the individual players themselves, almost more so than Ted in a way sometimes. Yeah. And I mean, Jamie Tartt's character arc throughout all 3 seasons is incredible and one of my favorite parts of the show. And there's an episode where he and Roy are like riding bikes together, which is one of my favorite.
Yeah, that's my scenes. The Amsterdam episode's probably my favorite of the season.
I don't know how to fucking ride a bike.
Which is crazy because like I identify with Ted because I co-parent my son, who I'm not estranged from, but I don't see him anywhere near as often as I would like. And so all those emotional beats hit me very hard. But I also can't ride a bike. And so that episode was like, you know?
Do you want to learn how to ride a bike?
Coming from such a strong man.
Can we make a montage of me teaching you how to ride a bike?
Yes. I've tried as an adult, I want to warn you, but I didn't try as steadfastly as, like, you know, because you see him falling a lot with Jamie there, and I was like, oh, I gave up right around there, you know?
If only you were more like Roy Kent.
Because anybody who's ever tried to teach me is like, it's like riding a bike. You just fucking go.
Just,
you
know? Go. Just pedal, man.
Pedals. And I'm like,
easy for you to say.
Sure, sure. So that could be a thing we do, maybe for on Patreon.
Watch Chris struggle for an hour.
I'm in a mode where I make content about everything. It's my life now, right?
So yeah.
If I'm going to learn how to ride a bike, I'm not going to do it for free. God damn it.
Yeah. Nor should you.
Nor should you. But yeah.
What about you?
I liked it too.
You liked it too?
Yeah. Black Mirror season 6 just came out. Well, as you're listening to this, it's 4 days ago, I think. But yeah, season 6 is out. I know you're a big fan of Black Mirror, and season 5 was the weakest by far of all of the shows. A lot of people say the common refrain is that once the Americans took the show over, once it moved from Channel 4 to Netflix, the show got much weaker. That's kind of true, except that the strongest season is season 3. That's the one with San Junipero and a lot of the big all-time favorite episodes. I think is the strongest season. So that's a Netflix season is what I was trying to say. Sorry.
USA. USA.
And of course, Charlie Brooker has been in charge of it the whole time, but I can see where they're coming from. Season 6 is better than 5, but still a diminished quality compared to 1 through 3. But one of the episodes is among the best that I've ever seen. It's called Beyond the Sea, I think. It stars Aaron Paul and Josh Hartnett.
Interesting
pairing.
Who's
making a comeback, because Josh Hartnett was also in a Guy Ritchie movie that I watched this year called Operation Fortune, Ruse de Guerre.
Is this a Hartnettissance?
I think it is. Mm. I think it is. It's also got Kate Mara, who I haven't seen in a long time.
Oh, I like Kate Mara.
I used to see her all the time, but after like House of Cards, Fantastic Four, she kind of disappeared. And Rooney hasn't been anything either, her sister. But anyway, I had a great time with this season. I watched them all in one day. The first episode, Joan is Awful, has Annie Murphy and Salma Hayek. And Annie Murphy is from Schitt's Creek, which is a show I did not watch, but I know everybody loves. That episode's really funny, like so funny that it's kind of weird for Black Mirror. And a lot of people are taking issue with this season because it's becoming something un-Black Mirror-like. It's not necessarily examining mankind's relationship with technology in like a foreboding Twilight Zone way. Like there's a lot of episodes that are straight comedy now. There's a lot of episodes that are straight horror in season 6 where there really isn't like a mind-bending technological twist or relationship at all.
Is it just like a weird horror story?
There's a fucking, yeah, there's like there's a creature feature episode. It's random.
Oh, interesting.
And there's a,
and there's like no technological bent to the story?
There's an episode that is all about people's obsession with true crime documentaries and shows and takes a shot at them for that. And that's all it is. And I really like it, though. You know what I mean? It's got Mahala Harold, who's an actor that I love. She was in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies and a show on HBO Max called Industry that's really good. All the performances are as great as ever. But Beyond the Sea is a feature-length film. It could have been released on Netflix as a film by the guy who created Black Mirror. It's fucking great.
Is it like 90 minutes long?
It's 1 hour 20. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's really Aaron Paul's probably career-best performance. Josh Hartnett's great in it. And the premise, I'm just going to give away the premise. If you don't want to know the premise, skip ahead like 30 seconds. But you'll love it, Steve, because it's very sci-fi. It takes place in the 60s, but an alternate history where we go to space.
Space?
And the idea is that they create robots that you can link into from space to live your daily life with your wife and kids. And then at night, when you lay down and go to sleep in the little machine, your consciousness goes back up to your real body, which is on the space station, and you can do your job up there. And that's the concept. And what kind of fuckery could happen in that? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's really, it's got a very Ray Bradbury-esque in a way that I really appreciated. There is people that are like, well, why don't they just send the robots up to space and stay down on Earth and link up to do their. And I was like, once somebody said that, it was like, I couldn't think of a reason why not. And it ruined it for me because it took away all the suspense.
Because
maybe there's a reason, but I thought it was fucking fantastic. Slow burn. Awesome sci-fi stuff. I highly recommend Black Mirror season 6. If you're a huge Black Mirror fan, you may be a little disappointed than usual, but I think after season 5, you'll be excited because some of the episodes are really, really strong. I liked all of them to different degrees. My least favorite was one with Zazie Beetz called Maisie Day, but that one's only 40 minutes. So, ha!
Got him.
Boom. Steve, what else have you been watching?
What do you, like, so I just want to, like, expound on what you said a little bit. So they're kind of going away. It sounds like they're going away from the technological only bent part of the show.
Yeah.
Because the idea was, like, a Black Mirror is what your phone is, because when your phone turns off, you're looking at a Black Mirror.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be like humanity's interaction with technology and how that could be fucked up in some ways, depending on how the future goes. So I kind of like the idea because how, as a writer, that has to be kind of pigeonholing, right? You're just like, I have to write this thing all the time. But I do like the idea of like.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Taking something like the true crime thing intrigues me because true crime is something that we interact with mostly in like podcast form or like television show yeah, form.
It's about them making a documentary in the episode. So there's still some tech to it, I guess.
Yeah. But that's like a genre. I feel like that would not exist or at least wouldn't be as profoundly successful today if it weren't for this avenue of tech that we find ourselves in currently. So I like that idea of not necessarily like it has to be the technology that's evil, but it's the way we live currently based off some sort of technological advance, but it's not necessarily the focus of it. I like that idea.
Sure.
That's kind of a neat idea because there is something weird about our obsession with true crime, right? That is kind of a strange thing.
There's something very gross about it and the way we profit off of it, but also I get why people are interested in it. I'm not knocking investigation discovery addicts or anything like that at all. I told my wife's that way and Jimmy, friend of the show, Jimmy, who's on for Last of Us, is obsessed with that stuff. But you know, it's just like there's only 2 of the 5 episodes that are typical Black Mirror stuff. And then there's Lock Henry, which is the true crime one. There's another one called Maisie Day, which starts out to be kind of a critique of paparazzi, but ends up, like I said, turning into like a creature feature out of nowhere. It's very strange. Not bad. None of them are bad.
Yeah.
I definitely recommend watching all of them. And there's a third one called Demon 79, which is like a straight 1970s horror movie about a cult. Not a cult, but O-C-C-O-U-L-T. And it's kind of like the shtick of that one is a demon comes to a woman and says that to prevent the apocalypse, you have to murder 3 people. And that's the premise of that episode. So there's zero technology in that idea. You know, it's kind of become...
But the demon's like a Tamagotchi that's like, murder 3 people.
Ooh, that'd be cool. Or like a Furby. Remember those?
Oh no. Whoa. Murder 3 people.
Hungry. Audio listeners, you can't tell he's actually trying to do the eye thing and everything of the Furbies.
It's hard to do.
It is. But then, yeah, so that's 3 out of the 5 are kind of just like a Tales from the Crypt stories in a way. But it's still, so some people argue like it's fine, but don't fucking call it Black Mirror. Do Charlie Brooker Presents something else. And I'm like, I guess, but he can do whatever the fuck he wants. And it's fine. I get wanting to use the brand to get people to watch your exploratory other ideas, you know?
Right.
But anyway, what else have you been watching?
I've also been watching another show on Apple TV Plus, also created by Brett Goldstein, Bill Lawrence, and Jason Segel.
Shrinking.
And it's called, yes, it's called Shrinking.
I bet you love Shrinking.
I actually really do love Shrinking. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's great.
You love it?
It's great.
So if you don't
know, Bill Lawrence is on a fucking roll.
He is. So if you don't know the premise, it's basically, I'll read you the IMDb synopsis. A grieving therapist starts to tell his clients exactly what he thinks. Ignoring his training and ethics, he finds himself making huge chances or huge changes to people's lives, including his own. Morally, watching this show, I do think it's morally reprehensible. Like, I would not want a therapist to do what Jason Segel's character is doing in this show.
Yeah, and I think it's the show knows that.
And the show knows that. But the fun, because it's a TV show and things can exist in a not fully real life world, like, this is one of those shows, kind of like Ted Lasso, where all the characters are lovable. Like, literally everyone's awesome.
Yeah.
Except for like very minor characters that are meant to be antagonists. But like everyone for the most part is like super, super chill, super cool, very supportive
of
each
other. Even Harrison Ford.
Even Harrison Ford in probably the best casted role he's been in 20 years.
It's the first time I've seen him try in decades.
Yeah. Because he plays like a surly, cantankerous old man who is Jason Segel.
But who's
Segel's,
also a therapist. So he's by nature good at coping. And
yeah, he's Jason Segel's boss and co-therapist. And he's also helping Jason Segel. So his character's wife has passed away and he's been dealing with that grief and trying to be a father at the same time, and he's not doing such a great job of coping with it. So Harrison Ford's there to kind of help his friend out, and he's just so perfect in the role, because there's certain times where like one of the other characters, Gabby, played by Jessica Williams, is trying to get him to drink more water, and he's like, she's like, can I tell you how much water a person's supposed to drink today? And he's like, can I tell you how less of a shit I give? Like, just like the delivery he has is so fucking perfect. I'm so glad they got him to be in this role.
He's like a neighbor of either Jason Segel or Bill Lawrence. And that's kind of how.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were like, should we ask Harrison? And they were like, no, he would never fucking talk to us. And it kind of, they didn't like go to his house, but they contacted him because of that. You know, he's like eight doors down, you know, and because they wanted him for the role, but they didn't think he would even answer. And for whatever reason, he was interested. So yeah. They were super hyped.
Yeah. And he gives such a great performance. Jason Segel is incredible in it. He's one of those actors that's really good at playing these hapless, happy-go-lucky dudes that are struggling with real issues, and he could be kind of a surly son of a bitch sometimes. Like, you're like, dude, you're making the wrong choice. That's awful. But you don't hate him for it. You're still kind of like, you got to work on yourself. Like Krista Miller's character, Liz, his neighbor, who's like the super supportive neighbor, who's like going way out of her way to help her neighbor out. Some of the times she's like, you
isn't that Bill Lawrence's wife?
I don't know if it is.
Because she's in Scrubs, right?
Yes.
Which is a show he created as well. I'm pretty sure it's his wife.
Oh, interesting.
But she's in a lot of his stuff for sure.
But yeah, she's a great character. And sometimes he's like, dude, you got to get your shit together. And that's kind of the way you feel about him. Like, you can see, like, this is a good guy. He's been dealt a terrible card. But dude, get your shit together. Come on. You got a daughter. And also, I do want to say her character, Liz's character, has a husband named Derek, who is the greatest character in TV.
All right, fuck me, right?
Yeah. He's such a minor character, but he's so ride or die everything. He's always like, what's the neighbor's name when the neighbor's being kind of racist towards Luke Tenney's character?
I can't recall.
I forget. Susan, we'll just say her name, Susan. They're arguing with Susan because she's being kind of racist toward this young black man that's living with them. And Derek rolls by and is like, hi, Susan. And she's like, don't say hi to Susan. We hate Susan. He's like, oh, eat a dick, Susan. And like, just drives on. He's just so ride or die.
Like,
life.
Oh, okay.
It's
that's
fucking
what
amazing how awesome that character. Every time he popped on screen, I'm like, I can't wait for Derek to show up, please. But what did you think about Shrinking overall? I loved it.
I think it's incredible. I got a lot of shit because I ranked it on my top 10 shows of the year so far list lower than another show on Apple TV Plus that I think is also created by Bill Lawrence. He's on literally destroying it, right? I think. But that's Platonic.
Oh, Platonic.
With Seth Rogen.
I need to watch that. I haven't seen it yet.
It's really good. It's legitimately, it's a romantic comedy without the romance, but it's not just a comedy because it is a relationship between a man and a woman is the premise. But it's like,
it's a platonic relationship.
Can men and women be friends without sex? Is the whole like joke of their friends in the show. But honestly, it's just so fucking funny. It's so funny. And Shrinking was making me bawl my eyes out and shit. Platonic doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. But it was just so funny. And I've seen it more recently. Maybe that's all it was a recency bias thing. So I think you would like them both, just like I do. But Shrinking at the time that I saw it, I was obsessed with it. It's so good. It really, it's got the same heart of Ted Lasso.
I really like the bookending of it, too. It has a really good bookend between the two seasons. But also, something happens with one of his patients. That's like, ooh, if they have a season two, I wonder how they're going to get out of that. That's pretty interesting. So sure. It's a show that like makes you feel good. It makes you cry. It makes you evaluate what it means to be human and how we kind of help each other out and how we cope with our own difficult stuff that we're dealing with, because we're all dealing with our own personal baggage. And so like it's really good on that aspect, but also it's not scared to take risks and do some questionable things in an exciting way.
Yeah. Absolutely. I recommend that to everybody. It's got all the feels that you might be looking for. Another thing that I've been watching is called Extraction 2. It's the sequel to Extraction, you might imagine. The Russo brothers produced and written movie. Well, it's written by Joe Russo. Directed by Sam Hargrave, starring Chris Hemsworth. And I'm a big, dumb action movie fan, diehard fan, literally diehard fan. But also, like, I grew up watching, like, Hard Target on repeat. So I'm bound to like, and I'm also a slut for a good oner.
Oh, you are a slut for a good oner.
There's like a 21-minute, one-take action sequence in Extraction 2 that is fucking batshit crazy. Hundreds of people fighting everywhere. Chris Hemsworth milling through the crowd, on fire at one point.
Jesus.
With a riot shield. it's crazy. And from a technical aspect, you know, this whole new, what's the word I'm looking for? Trend of stunt workers just deciding to direct their own movies with the real knowledge of what good choreography is. Starting with John Wick, which is one of my favorite franchises of all time. I love it. So I was super hyped for Extraction 2 because I actually really loved. Did you watch Extraction?
No, never did.
They're both on Netflix, and so they're easy to watch. It's just a bunch of pew, pew, pew. You know, I mean, I think Tyler Rake kills 183 people in the first movie, and that's Chris Hemsworth's character. On screen, you can count them, 183 people.
Is there a kill count in the bottom left-hand corner?
No, but Netflix released that. But so it's the biggest, like, by one person kill count ever. For reference, John Wick kills 200 and something in both the first two movies. So it's
combined.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So, and you know how much that feels like he's killing watching those movies?
Yeah.
It's all in one movie with Extraction. And he's not the only one killing.
Is this a thing that movies are trying to do now? Like, oh, we're going to have the biggest kill count for our protagonist. We're going to commit a small genocide in our movie.
Well, they've been doing it. Like, there's that joke kill count counter in Hot Shots Part 2. Remember that?
Yeah. He just grabs bullets out of a bag and throws it. Yeah. And all the guys are like pretend they're getting shot. It's so good.
It's kind of like that. But I think there's a level of emotion to these movies, too. Like, Tyler Rake is a mercenary who was an Afghanistan fighting soldier whose son died, prior to the movie starting. And so now he's in this really dark place where he's just a gun for hire and wants to die, but doesn't have the strength to take his own life. So he's just throwing himself in these dangerous situations, but he's got that will to survive and skill set that won't let him end it. You know, sounds dumb and corny, but it actually works. Chris Hemsworth's great in the role. And it's very sad. The first movie has David Harbour. I mean, it's just fucking fun. And the second movie has Idris Elba. So I highly recommend both of them. I think Extraction 2 might be better than the first just because the villain is truly menacing. But if you're into John Wick and Atomic Blonde and Nobody with what's the guy from Mr. Show? It's very fucking famous in Better Call Saul.
Bob
Odenkirk.
Odenkirk. We got there. You were there, buddy. Gonna make weird noises until
Odenkirk.
Black and Decker.
Yeah, if you like all of those movies, just because you're into really well directed action, the writing's weak at many points, but the production value of the Russo brothers mixed with like Sam Hargrave directs the shit out of these movies. If you're into like technical filmmaking and choreography, you're going to have a blast. I love them. But yeah, Extraction 2 just came out. And then finally, The last movie I want to talk about is I was doing a project with
the
Mubi.
Mario Brothers.
I haven't made the video. Yeah. The highest grossing movie of the year. $1.3 billion.
That is a fun movie.
I was doing a project with Mubi, the streaming service, and I get to pick a movie off of their service to make a video about. And I do that four times a month. And one of them, it was for Pride Month. I wanted to, I was supposed to pick a queer movie that I had not seen or wanted to talk about. And so I picked one I hadn't seen. It makes it more fun for me. This movie, I cannot believe I've never even heard of it. You may have. It's called Velvet Goldmine. Have you heard of this, Steve?
I have heard of the title, but I can't tell you what it's about. But I've heard of the title before.
Listen to the cast.
Okay.
It's got Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, the guy from The Tudors. I don't know if you watched that show.
The guy from Mission Impossible 3.
Oh, he is in that, isn't he? There mm-hmm. you go. A little tie into our show. It's got Ewan McGregor.
What?
Christian Bale.
I love Christian Bale. A
young Toni Collette.
Oh, yeah.
It's directed by Todd Haynes.
Eddie Izzard.
Eddie Izzard is in it. Yes. It's fucking amazing that, like, to see this young Christian Bale interacting with this, like, train spotting era Ewan McGregor playing these outlandish London rock stars and pop stars, really. It's wild. And they're so good. And Toni Collette, I'd never seen her like this before. She's so like, cause she, you know, I've only seen her since like post Hereditary career. I never saw Muriel's Wedding. I'm so dumb. I didn't even know she was from Australia until a few years ago. And so like seeing her like play this kind of character was so surreal for me. And it's a very strange movie. Like the narrative structure is, it's kind of bookended by the idea that Christian Bale's character is a reporter who's trying to figure out the life of the Jonathan Rhys-Meyers couple character, where he went after his ending as a pop star. And so he's writing an article about it and he's interviewing people from the guy's life. So it's bookended narratively with that, but it starts off with like Oscar Wilde as a young boy, and it's all over the place, but not in a way that doesn't make any sense. It's just really interesting. It's like, oh, I'm not going to be held by what the next normal thing to do would be narratively, because this is a queer story and we do whatever the fuck we want. We're just living free. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of really good original music in it, and just an interesting, it's like, Almost Famous and Rock Band, that movie with Mark Wahlberg, or maybe like Rocket Man would be a better.
I'm a rock star.
Yeah,
I'm just out here trying to be a really good rock star.
It's Rachel from Friends.
Hey, what's up, Doc? Say hi to your mother for me. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah,
skit?
Yes, it's so good. But I think I'm the last person on Earth to find out and watch Velvet Goldmine, but in the event that you haven't or you hadn't heard anybody talk about it for a while, I wanted to plug it. It's on Mubi. It might be somewhere else as well. I know a lot of people don't have that streaming service. But yeah, that's Velvet Goldmine. I think you should watch it. I know you're a big Ewan McGregor fan.
I'm a big All of Those People fan.
Yeah, it's a lower budget, just people.
And I'm watching the, so I got it pulled up on IMDb, and there's like, you know, they got the trailer kind of playing on a loop.
Yes.
And there's a lot of like David Bowie, Ziggy Stardust era outfits that they're wearing. And so I eat that shit up all day.
The Jonathan Rhys-Meyers character is very much supposed to be a Bowie analog, I think. I was getting that vibe too.
Hell yeah. I like that.
But it's so good. I'd never seen it before. I recommend it to everybody. And that's Crossing Streams, baby. Hopefully we gave you guys some good stuff to watch.
Yeah, some good shows out there.
Tune in tomorrow. We're talking about A Night at the Opera, demanded by Emmy. Mm-hmm. And then Thursday is our Lost episode 2. And Friday, Steve and Phil are returning with their coverage of Strange New World season 2. So yeah. Tune in for all of that.
We've got, and if you have ideas that we should watch that maybe we can talk about,
yes,
at Crossing Streams,
do.
You can let us know. Email us at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram and everything else. We also have a website now that's streamingthingspod.com.
Yes.
I did not just suddenly look over to remind myself what it was.
Of the URL. It's just like our email, but without the @gmail.
Yeah, and you can go to that website and there's a contact us form. So if you can't remember streamingthingspod@gmail.com, you can always contact us on there as well.
Though if you remember streamingthingspod.com and not the email, it's kind of weird.
It is kind of weird.
But I get it.
But yeah, I get it. It's, you know, different strokes for different folks.
Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. But mostly take care of yourselves. Watch some good stuff. And please do write in and recommend stuff to us or DM me on Instagram. And if I check it out, I'll talk about it on Crossing Streams. That's all the time we have for right now. My name is Chris.
My name is Steve.
And did you just finger gun it?
I did. PPU.
This is Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
Pew, 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 hey, pew. I'm Taylor Rake.
Ooh.
Or it's Tyler Rake.
Tyler.
Tyler Rake, that's me.
That's his brother, Taylor.
Oh, no, no. I have only killed 10 people.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.